This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump repaid Cohen. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, May 3rd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
New Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani says the president repaid personal attorney Michael Cohen for a $130,000 payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels.
A military plane crashed in Georgia, killing all nine members on board from the Puerto Rico National Guard.
Body camera footage has been released from the first two police officers on the scene of the deadly massacre in Las Vegas last fall.
And the period of higher stocks, cheap loans, and low inflation may be coming to an end.
Our central bank has been keeping interest rates and what we pay on our mortgages or our credit cards or when we get a small business loan. That's been super cheap. So people have been borrowing money, and now those rates are starting to go up. So it's going to get a lot more expensive to borrow that money.
Heather Long at the Washington Post on the end of a rare trifecta. There's been a change to the story about a payment to an adult film star that would keep her quiet about an alleged affair with Donald Trump. Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani now says the president had repaid his longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, for a $130,000 payment. Mr. Giuliani told the Wall Street Journal last evening that the president had repaid Mr. Cohen, but he suggested that Mr. Cohen made the payment in October 2016 without Mr. Trump's knowledge at the time. Mr. Giuliani first discussed the repayment on Fox News last night.
Didn't know about the specifics of it, as far as I know. But he did know about the general arrangement that Michael would take care of things like this, like I take care of things like this for my clients.
Mr. Giuliani's remarks reversed what appeared to be a long-running effort by Mr. Cohen and the White House to distance Mr. Trump from the payment to Stephanie Clifford, who is known professionally as Stormy Daniels. Mr. Trump last month denied knowing about the payment and said he didn't know where the money for the repayment had come from. He has denied through representatives of having an encounter with Ms. Clifford. A cargo plane making its final military flight has crashed on a Georgia highway, killing all nine people aboard. They were from the Puerto Rico National Guard and were traveling yesterday on a C-130 from Savannah to Tucson, Arizona, where the hulking plane was to be decommissioned. It nosedived moments after takeoff near Hilton Head Airport in Savannah. There were no injuries on the ground. The military is investigating the cause. Senior Master Sergeant Roger Parsons is with the 165th Airlift Wing in Savannah.
Anytime we lose any of our brothers and sisters in arms, it's devastating and something we'd never like to have happen.
Officials say the plane had been in Savannah for a number of days undergoing routine maintenance before heading to the Aerospace Regeneration and Maintenance Group in Arizona, also known as the Boneyard. It's where the military keeps thousands of aircraft as well as spacecraft. State Highway 21 in that area will remain closed indefinitely as investigators examine the crash site and debris field. Body cam footage has been released from last October's deadly massacre in Las Vegas. It shows heavily armed officers sweep the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino on their way up to the gunman's suite on the 32nd floor, telling patrons along the way to leave and head south away from the shooting. They climb the building stairs, arriving at the room and blowing open its double doors with an explosive, only to find the suspect lying on the floor in a pool of blood in the room.
159 is coming from like the 50 or 60th floor. North of the Mandalay Bay, it's coming out a window.
Officers take note of an intricate camera system that was set up by gunman Stephen Pollock, who killed 58 people and injured hundreds more at a music festival. He killed himself with a gunshot to the head. He knew when officers were coming down the hallway. The footage was recorded on body cameras worn by two of the first police officers to arrive. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Small Business Month, Dell is offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Former Democrats are thriving in Republican primaries despite attacks on their past history. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal, says it's another sign that President Trump has reoriented the party in a more populist direction. Josh, what's up here?
Two big primaries coming up next week in Indiana and in West Virginia, and two of the leading candidates, in fact, two of the candidates with the most momentum on the Republican side are both either a former Democrat or someone who spent most of his life voting in Democratic primaries. You got Evan Jenkins, who's a congressman, switched parties in 2013, is running against Joe Manchin. He's looking for the nomination, I should say, against Joe Manchin. He's facing, among others, State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey for the nomination. And what's interesting about this primary is that Morrissey is your kind of traditional movement conservative, was very, as Attorney General, was very active in challenging a lot of Obama executive orders, especially on environmental issues. But Jenkins has the profile that fits West Virginia to a T. There are a lot of conservative Democrats in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It's a state that until recently was a pretty reliably Democratic state, but they're folks that have become alienated from the national party and have become more conservative, become more Republican. Jenkins is sort of a personification of that type of voter, and he is gaining a lot of momentum in the late stages of that West Virginia Senate primary. Mike Braun is the guy in Indiana who's got all the momentum in that race, looking to run against Joe Donnelly, the Democratic senator. And he's someone who is sort of a Trump-like figure, a businessman, an outsider who's spending a lot of his own money on this race, running against two Republican congressmen, and has got a pretty sizable lead, according to all the latest polling.
How about that? All right, so Jenkins, you mentioned, switched to the Republican Party in 2013. So that was pre-Trump. Obviously. So there's no real connection there. What was the switch
Trump,
for?
I think it's fair to look at Trump as sort of a conclusion from the trends that are taking place in a lot of the blue-collar precincts in the country.
Okay.
So we saw the movement. I mean, Barack Obama, President Obama, only won 59% of the Democratic primary vote in West Virginia in 2012. Over 40% of Democrats in West Virginia decided that they didn't like President Obama. So that shows you how much volatility there is in a state of blue collar, a state like West Virginia. Indiana is also in that category. It's a state that Obama, I believe, he won narrowly in 2008 and then lost in 2012, and Republicans made some significant gains since then. But this is a state that's one of the best pickup opportunities for Republicans, but it's really notable that the two more traditional Republican candidates, Todd Rokita, who was a Rubio supporter during that presidential primary, and Luke Messer, who used to work for Mitch Daniels, is close to the Pence family. They're not getting traction. It's the guy who's the outsider, the guy who's the businessman, is the one who's leading in that race. So it's a very Trumpian phenomenon. Trump was sort of the culmination of a lot of these trends going on in Republican Party politics.
We're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. His piece is called "Republicans Turn to Party Switchers in Upcoming Primaries." All right, so I know you use the phrase here, liberals in disguise. That's the accusation against some of these guys. How do they respond to that?
Well, so their opponents are kind of trying to use that attack. It's not a very credible attack because these candidates are probably best defined as conservative Democrats. They were Democrats, but they were always fairly conservative. But what Morrissey in West Virginia and Rokita in Indiana are trying to make these guys out to be liberal Democrats. And what's interesting is that they're actually gaining, those attacks don't seem to be getting a whole lot of traction. The notion that being a Democrat at one point is disqualifying isn't having as much utility as it once did. And I think that's has a lot to do because of President Trump. President Trump was until recently a pretty reliable Democratic supporter. He gave a lot of money to Democratic candidates, changed his position on a whole lot of issues. So the notion that you being a flip-flopper, being someone who used to be of a different party, that attack doesn't have the weight that it used to. We're also seeing in Mississippi, there's a newly appointed senator, Cindy Hyde-Smith, who switched parties in the last decade. And she's actually doing quite well, and she's actually survived or awfully resilient so far against the more conservative Tea Party primary challenge there in Mississippi. So it's a nationwide trend.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Krauss-Haar, politics editor at National Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Rudy Giuliani, one of President Trump's attorneys, says Trump reimbursed his personal lawyer for $130,000 in hush money paid to a porn actress days before the 2016 presidential election, appearing to contradict the president's past claims he didn't know the source of the money. Giuliani told Fox News the money to repay Michael Cohen had been funneled through the law firm, and the president repaid it.
The only possible violation there would be, was it a campaign finance violation, which usually would result in a fine, by the way, not this big stormtroopers coming in and breaking down his apartment and breaking down his office.
Asked if Trump knew about the arrangement, Giuliani said he didn't know about the specifics of it, as far as I know. President Trump has hired a veteran attorney who represented Bill Clinton during his impeachment process as the White House shifts to a more aggressive approach to a special counsel investigation that has reached a critical stage. The White House announced the hiring of lawyer Emmett Flood after disclosing the retirement of Ty Cobb, who for months has been the administration's point person dealing with special counsel Robert Mueller. Cobb spoke with ABC yesterday about his decision to leave.
Here at the White House, you know, almost everything that I was brought on to do has been accomplished in terms of witnesses being interviewed and documents being produced. So it's a reasonable time for me to go. And
it's the latest shakeup for Trump's legal team. Just weeks after a jet engine blew apart and broke a window leading to the death of a passenger, there's been another incident with a Southwest Airlines plane. Yesterday, a flight from Chicago to New Jersey had to make an emergency landing in Cleveland because of a cracked window. Passengers say they heard a loud pop and then moved away. When they saw a jagged crack, there were no reports of injuries. Hawaii is set to become the first state to ban the sale of sunscreens containing chemicals believed to be harmful to the environment. State lawmakers have passed a bill that prohibits the sale and distribution of over-the-counter sunscreens containing two chemicals that have been found to cause genetic damage to coral and other marine organisms. Up to 14,000 tons of sunscreen gets released into coral reefs each year.
Ouch. By the way, speaking of Hawaii,
yes.
See these stories today? I'm reading from the headline from the Honolulu Star Advertiser. Part of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park closes as threat of Kilauea eruption looms.
Yeah.
Guess where the Deal family is going on vacation as of right now, this summer?
Uh-oh.
To Hawaii. Yes.
As of right now.
Yeah, as of right now.
You'll be all right.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. As consumers have more options for hobbies and imported instruments compete with American-made ones, the musical instrument business in the U.S. is becoming more fractured. As you may have heard, the guitar company Gibson, based in Nashville, has filed for bankruptcy. MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna asks, will the next generation of Bob Dylans and Jimi Hendrixes play the DJ decks instead of the guitar? Maria, what's going on with Gibson?
What's interesting is that, you know, basically the company has really been struggling with debt. It acquired some home entertainment and audio equipment makers, and that's kind of the main reason the analysts are saying they actually did file for bankruptcy this week.
Okay. So, I mean, this is a guitar, I believe, that's been sung about in songs. It's so popular. So what's going on in the guitar industry itself? Is there trouble there?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, you know, on the bright side for music enthusiasts, it doesn't seem like that is a problem. Guitar sales have been actually growing over the past 10 years, which, you know, a lot of experts in the industry say is partly because the economy is doing better and people have more money to spend on hobbies and things like that. So guitar sales are actually up. In the past 10 years, sales of guitars have risen almost 28%. So they're actually up quite a bit. So yeah, it's not as tough of a time for the industry as the bankruptcy filing would suggest.
Okay, but you say too, it's been a tough time for the industry. On the other hand, how so?
Yes, so it's actually part of what has made it a little bit hard for musical instrument sales in general, not just guitars, is that, you know, there are a lot of imported instruments now, and so that has really driven competition and forced makers to make their prices lower, which, is a good thing for the consumer, but for companies it's been a little bit tough because, you know, they're facing more competition from online sales and international sales.
You point out, too, and explain this, guitar manufacturers have all sorts of competition.
Yes. So that is one thing that analysts are saying they're keeping their eye on. You know, there are a lot of electronic music options now. There's a lot of people that are becoming interested in, you know, even DJing and using different online programs, you know, GarageBand and things like that to actually create music. So buying a guitar is not the only option at this point. And obviously those are very different skill sets. But, you know, there are a lot of there's a lot of competition for our attention now in terms of leisure time. So it could be that someone, you know, is just as happy playing Guitar Hero on a video game as they are actually getting an instrument, especially because sort of the target demographic for people buying instruments is young children ages 10 to 19. So, you know, kids in that demographic have so many options for things to do in their free time. So that's something that could put pressure on the industry.
It's Market Watch reporter Maria LaMagna in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 3rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says the president repaid his personal lawyer for the Stormy Daniels payoff. A military plane crash in Georgia kills 9. The president marks National Prayer Day today with members of the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, Texas, scene of a mass shooting last year. The market research company Cambridge Analytica is shutting down in the wake of the Facebook scandal. And the worst flyers to be stuck with at 30,000 feet. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, for most of the past decade, as the U.S. economy marched through the second longest expansion in its history, Americans enjoyed a rare trifecta: soaring stock values, cheap loans, and consumer prices that rarely rose. That favorable climate benefited everyone, from people nearing retirement to those buying their first homes, just filling their gas tanks. But suddenly, the good fortune is melting away. It's a story in the Washington Post. Here's economics correspondent Heather Long. Heather, set the scene.
Well, we're basically entering a totally new period for the economy and the stock market. And it all really boils down to the Federal Reserve. Our central bank has been keeping interest rates and what we pay on our mortgages or our credit cards or when we get a small business loan. That's been super cheap. So people have been borrowing money, and now those rates are starting to go up. So it's going to get a lot more expensive to borrow that money, and people are starting to rethink whether they should invest, whether in the stock market or in new businesses.
More expensive for everything, right?
That's
more money
right.
For staples, what else? Homes, cars?
You got it, and you're right. I forgot to mention we're also seeing those prices go up. I know I personally just got a big rent increase on my apartment in Washington, D.C., so whether it's rent or whether it's health care, even when you go to places like a McDonald's or an Amazon, or probably if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you just saw that increase there, too. So that's that return of inflation after almost 10 years of a friend of mine in New York, you know, there was almost no inflation. She was actually able to get her rent decreased 1 year because we just didn't have inflation, but that's not going to be so easy now.
Wow. But as you point out in the story, the economy overall is still doing well. So why is all this happening?
Well, that's your stock market, your Wall Street factor. So things do look very good right now. We're on track for one of the best economic years, potentially since 2014 or 15, and possibly even longer than that if things come in as we are expecting. As you also may know, we are in the second longest U.S. expansionary period in history. So again, overall things look really good. But the stock market's always looking ahead. It's always looking, you know, 6 months, 12 months, even longer. And the reality is this expansion can't go on forever. It's already long in the tooth. And people are starting to see the scenario where as prices go up, as it gets harder to borrow that money, that maybe in a year, year and a half, 2 years, it's not going to be such a pretty picture. We could slow down, even hit that big R, ugly word, recession.
Wow. We're speaking with Heather Long, economics correspondent at The Washington Post. They've got a comprehensive piece running entitled Rare Trifecta of Soaring Stocks, Cheap Loans, and Low Inflation Coming to an End. Explain the relevance here of the 10-year Treasury note and its movement.
We've been living with such low U.S. debt. You could buy those benchmark that most people focus on is that 10-year U.S. Treasury, and that's just been at historic lows for the last few years because people around the world wanted to buy U.S. debt. The U.S. economy was stronger than, say, the European economy or the Japanese economy, and all of that demand for that U.S. debt kept those yields, so the amount of interest that people are getting on that bond, it was super low, like rates of 2%, 2.1. Yes. And now it's finally gone above 3. Now, 3 is still super low historically, but it's one of those psychological benchmarks where you think, okay, it's past 3%. Are we headed next to 3.5 or to 4%? How quickly are we going to get there? And that's why you saw some panic on Wall Street in the last few days where people are starting to reevaluate, wait a minute, this stuff we had forgotten, this inflation and these higher interest rates, the picture's changing.
Thanks, Heather. Heather Long, economics correspondent at The Washington Post. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, and plenty of it, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Friday Eve. Glad you could join us. If your company is in hiring mode, do you know what today's new college grads are interested in? LaSalle Network, a national staffing and recruiting firm, has published its annual report on what the upcoming graduating class wants in a job and company. The report is called What the Class of 2018 Wants. Here's what's in it from Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Tom, what have you found?
Well, the big thing is an overwhelming majority of the kids graduating, we surveyed over 3,000 seniors in college, and the overwhelming majority had not accepted a job yet. And the reason that that's interesting, that in years past you'd have that number would be maybe at least 50%, if not greater, had accepted a job prior to the middle of the second semester senior year. And what we're seeing now is the economy is so strong that kids are realizing that they can hold back and really field their options.
Wow. So, you know, go back to the title of the report. It made me chuckle. What the class of 2018 wants. They get to call the shots, because I thought it might read what employers want and need from the class of 2018.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting choice of words. I see where you're coming from. And where it is, when unemployment is at 3.9 or 4%, it really becomes a little bit more of an employee market. And right now, as there aren't a lot of more seasoned, experienced employees that are willing to make moves, you see that companies have no other choice but to rely on kids coming out of college. So looking for what they want can really focus on employers. So the big phrase that's come up over the past half decade or so is employer branding, and that companies now have to market themselves externally as a great place to work, as a fun environment, as a career advancement opportunity, where in decades past it was you went to General Electric or you went to a big bank because you knew you had career progression and you could grow, and 15 years from now you'd be making a lot of money. Today it's saying, if all things are being equal, here's our brand and here's what you'll be a part of, and that's what kids want to see coming out of college.
Wow. We're speaking with Tom Gimbel. He's the founder and CEO of the staffing and recruiting firm LaSalle Network. All right, so where does growth in an opportunity rank compared to, say, pay or health benefits, 401k, or, you know, pool table or something?
Yeah, so the two big ones, the top two, over 50% of the respondents believed, were culture and compensation. Right? And so we saw compensation creep up into the top spot, which hadn't been there for a while. And what that says is, number one, not as idealistic as in years past. Number two, that kids coming out of college are believing that we are in a recovery and money is more accessible. And number three, and I think it's kind of a reflection on, without getting into a huge political conversation, that what's happened in D.C. is that it's okay to say you want to make more money again. And the tides have shifted a little bit due to some of the direction coming out of D.C. So people are saying, yeah, I want to make more money.
So that's interesting, because right now in a tight labor market, they're likely to get more, aren't they? Because
they are. But I mean, I'm not choosing political sides in this conversation, Gordon, at all. But you never heard in President Obama's tenure of saying, you know, we want to make more money. We want wages to increase.
Okay.
It's okay. I'm rich. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And now you have this president in Trump who pounds his chest and says, I have money. Money's good. We want to make money. And we're seeing that in the survey data that kids coming out of college are saying, culture is important. I don't want to work at a place I don't like. However, I want to be paid for it.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome aboard. If you're hemming and hawing about whether or not to attend a professional event for work, experts say it's generally best to attend, even if you think you might get a hostile reaction. Moneyish.com spoke to career and etiquette coaches who say you should look at such events as an offshoot of work. Maybe it's a dinner honoring a colleague that you don't necessarily get along with. The problem with not attending is that there could be professional ramifications if you don't. For example, by not attending, your absence could be interpreted as a lack of respect. Best advice? Stay low profile, which means you don't have to say much, nor do you have to stay for the entire event once your presence has been noted. And as one expert says, don't look unhappy to be there. Finally, if you know there might be unpleasantness, prepare a measured response if and when, say, there's a snide remark sent your way. You can say something like, I'm choosing to attend to honor this person, and I don't feel this is the appropriate time for a discussion. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to Rudy Giuliani's revelation that President Trump reimbursed his personal attorney for a $130,000 payment to a porn actress to keep her quiet about an alleged affair is raising new legal questions, including whether the president and his campaign violated campaign finance laws. The former New York City mayor insisted on Fox News that the payment to Stormy Daniels is going to turn out to be perfectly legal.
I feel very bad he's been victimized like this. The president feels even worse. The fact is, just trust me, they're going to come up with no violations there.
Giuliani says the payment was not campaign money and therefore was not a campaign finance violation. The military is investigating why an aging cargo plane making its final military flight nosedived into a Georgia highway yesterday, killing all 9 people on board. Senior Master Sergeant Roger Parsons says the Puerto Rico Air National Guard WC-130 was flying from Savannah to Tucson, where it was to be decommissioned.
There's an interim safety board that will be securing the scene, and they will secure that scene for as long as it takes to start the process of investigating this to find out what the cause and look at all the factors in this.
The plane involved was at least 50 years old. All aboard were from Puerto Rico. A Missouri State House panel has concluded that Missouri Governor Eric Greitens lied to state ethics officials about how a list of major donors to his former charity was obtained for use by his gubernatorial campaign. The special committee, already investigating unrelated sexual misconduct and invasion of privacy allegations against Greitens, based its latest findings on sworn statements by several former campaign and charity associates, Lawyers for the governor dismissed the matter as a minor campaign finance issue resolved a year ago. Some good news has come out of an unfortunate situation. The two black men who arrested a Philadelphia Starbucks last month set off a wave of protests have reached a settlement with the city. They'll each be paid a symbolic $1. And Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson will release the city and employees of all claims in exchange for the creation of a $200,000 fund that will help young people in Philadelphia attain the skills needed to become business owners.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
It is.
Those are some good guys right there.
Absolutely.
to let that go. Very good. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Airplane passengers who invade personal space or let their kids go crazy are the most annoying. Expedia's annual Airplane and Hotel Etiquette Study has found that seat kickers, seat bumpers, and seat grabbers were ranked the worst passengers to encounter during a flight. 51% of travelers surveyed across 23 countries called out these seat disruptors in particular. The other most frustrating flyers included 43% who said the aromatic passenger who hasn't showered or used deodorant, 39% who cited the inattentive parent whose kids are going wild at 30,000 feet, and 1 in 3 who pointed to personal space violators. Going barefoot once you board the plane, also universally despised by more than 90% of respondents. The Expedia survey also spoke to people about the worst hotel guests. The top 4, inattentive parents, the in-room revelers and hallway hellraisers, the complainers, and the partygoers and bar boozers. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.